Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Turn it up.
Are you afraid to compete? How do you respond to people say that you're worried to be compared side by side with your peers?
No, not doing things. It was a decision by me and my team.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think it's just the 21st century way of use of the spotlight. They've got some cash and scratch in the bank.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I'm back from Indianapolis from the NFL Scouting Combine. Four wild days, lots to talk about with the days ahead. And the franchise tag deadline is Tuesday. Ian Rappaport will have the latest on all of that when he joins us in hour number three, because the new league year begins a week from Wednesday, and the window to talk to anybody else's free agents opens up 1 week from today. So stuff's about to get cracking. And obviously, whether a team is in on a quarterback in the draft or not does depend on if they fill their need in the next 10 days or so. You want to get Justin Fields instead of drafting somebody? You want to sign Kirk Cousins instead of drafting somebody? I am viewing, just like you, Chris Brockman, the Mike Evans news of signing a two-year deal back in Tampa does mean that Baker Mayfield's not going anywhere. But things, as you know, are frequently what they seem in the National Football League. To join us right now at the top of hour number two, fresh back from Indianapolis, edition of the Rich Eisen Show, is a longtime friend of this program and a sight to see, certainly on a day like this, Dan Orlovsky. How are you doing, Dan? Good to see
you. I'm doing really good. Good to see you, bud. How are you doing?
I saw a lot of your NFL live crew in Indianapolis, Dan.
Yeah, I saw
a bunch.
I was getting consistent pictures from them. So there was a little FOMO, a little jealousy, but I think those two, specifically Laura and Mina, held their own.
Well, I mean, it was, it was just great meeting, Mina I'd met. I'd never met Laura before. It just, and it's just great to see the chemistry. The off the air is exactly what I see on the air. So really great stuff.
Yeah, they're great people. Laura's tremendous. So,
Laura, let's just jump into what you saw on the screen from the guys who spun it and what your impressions are of the quarterbacks that were active on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, I'd start with this, Rich. I'm not a massive combine throw person and really not a massive pro day throw person. I think the tape for me is always what stands out, but unless a guy is so impressive throwing the football that it's such a overwhelming positive takeaway, I think Michael Penix, you know, the ball just comes off of his hands differently. I think the ball jumps out of his hand. And if for Michael, it's like this journey of, well, I had two awesome seasons in a row at Washington where I threw for almost 10,000 yards and, 75 plus touchdowns. So great. And then you go through the process of, well, pro day, combine, and, two really things for him that are important are, how he threw the football. Because if you do it better and differently than anybody else that's there, now those top three guys didn't throw, but he threw it better than anybody else at the combine. And then from all things that I've heard, the medical went really well. So I think that was a really big weekend for Michael Penix. I'll use your guy, and I don't want to say your guy, but obviously Michigan alum, J.J. McCarthy. I couldn't care less that he had incompletions at the combine. I love the fact that he went out there and threw it hard, showed off his arm. I think that's one of his underrated assets and skills. So, the variance of those guys, it's great that Michael stood out in that regard. It doesn't make me think anything differently and or less of J.J. that he had some incompletions.
So then let's get to the guys as a group then, removing what we saw over the weekend. Are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy, Dan?
Yeah, I am. After, you know, watching, you know, I don't like to say anything about these guys unless I've watched all of their snaps in totality. The only three that I've done in totality are Caleb, Jaden, and Drake May. After watching all that, I would take Jaden number one. I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. We see that in the NFL on a consistent basis. We're starting to see more and more of it. When I say, this is why I say, Rich, every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. It's the NFL. There's 60 people on the planet that have those jobs. Everybody's accurate. Accuracy is throwing it to your guy, ball placement, throwing it away from the defense. He's got the best on tape. Number two, evaluating this class is the hardest since I've gotten into this job for me, because it's either things are made so difficult by some of these offenses that are, you know, and I know Kurt had mentioned this, it's so difficult to evaluate, like, what is this? Or they make it so easy. So the number two thing is, when your offense and you as a pass game generate these explosive plays, what does it actually look like? Are you getting 4 or 5 20-plus yard completions in college football because you threw a bubble out to the right, or you had some trick play, or you ran around for 9 seconds and threw a ball down wide open to a guy in the NFL? We know that's not real life, or downfield, excuse me. So what does it look like? And he's got the most, oh, I see you throw that post-cross concept, or I saw you throw 4 verticals and you ripped that seam. Most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace. I think Caleb has tremendous pocket reaction, and his pocket suddenness is really good. Jaden has just this calm, this peace, this subtlety movement-wise that I think is different than the others as well. So I would go Jaden one. I think that he plays faster, both mentally and physically. You know, I so often 1-3 ball comes out of his hands. We know that, you know, and I think one of the things that I've learned, Rich, over the past couple of years of just doing this with the college kids and, you know, watching the NFL guys is, you know, kind of the state of the NFL quarterback wise is you really win making a ton of pars and then occasionally dropping birdies or an eagle. That's what Patrick did this last year. And I think Jaden does that as well. And then I would do Caleb too, tremendously talented. I see some of the stuff that I talked about with Jaden. The ball placement versus man isn't always perfect. Now, I don't think USC was super talented on the outside. I thought their offensive line was poor. You don't have a lot of examples of like 1-2-3 ball out, or 1-2-3-4-5 ball out, and the suddenness and the quick twitch of that and the you know, the shortstop play of that. Not a ton of examples this year on tape. Again, I think it's a little bit because of what's around him. Tremendous playmaker. You know, I think, Rich, I'll say this. I think he's a tremendous talent. That Notre Dame game is a tough game to look at. You know, NFL defenses, Al Golden dialed it up for Notre Dame, and, you know, Notre Dame created some pressure. And I think that's a game where if I was Chicago or Washington or New England, that would be the first game I would watch with him. And I would sit there and just watch that with him, and I would kind of take in everything that he's regurgitating.
Wow. All right. So there's a lot of food for thought right there, Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's start with Jaden Daniels. Is he good enough to jettison Justin Fields? Because everybody believes that Caleb Williams sure is. So you would then say you would, if you were Ryan Poles, send off Justin Fields and draft Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams? You would do that?
I would if I was Chicago, yes. And again, I think super highly of Caleb. I would say this. Both Caleb and Jaden are just as dynamic athletically as Justin, and are both better throwers of the football. And so because of that, and again, I like Justin. I still think Justin has a really bright future in the NFL. But because of that, I would say Chicago, yes. take quarterback one. And again, I think I would go with Jaden. I still think Caleb's a tremendous talent. And, you know, the context, I was actually talking with Daniel Jeremiah. Obviously, you guys crushed it this past weekend again, and thanks. He's so good at his job. But I was talking with him about it the other day, and it was a great conversation because all the things I said just now to you about Caleb, he was like, you know, go back and watch last year, you know, meaning two seasons ago, yes. when they had a little bit more talent around them. And so for me, Rich, it's not the knock on Caleb. It's more of when I watched Jaden, it just kept elevating and elevating for me what the opinion of what I had of him was.
Well, but then this is the second part of it too, is for Chicago though. And this is the part where Ryan Poles needs to clearly remove this from his thinking, but I'll throw it out there anyway, is they traded up for Trubisky and left Mahomes on the board. And here's a guy who looks the most like Mahomes that I've seen in quite some time. And you're going to leave him on the board for Jaden Daniels when this is clearly Mahomes' league and everybody's looking for the next Mahomes. And it sure looks like it's Caleb, right?
Yeah. I mean, Caleb definitely has that playmaking ability, that suddenness. It's not like Jaden is, you know, Joe Flacco either now, you know, I mean, his, no offense to Joe, but like this young man, that's one of the things, Rich, too, is, you know, 5-6 years ago when we were doing, you know, talking about quarterbacks, you would say, man, this guy's a great athlete and playmaker. And it would be this differentiator. It's not anymore. They all are. You know, I honestly think the differentiator now is, how much example do you have of that guy consistently playing on time and on rhythm and on balance and seeing it the right way and cutting the ball loose within the construct of a timing concept? Because I've talked about this, Rich, the NFL is cyclical. So it's starting to look a lot like now what it did in the early 2000s quarterback play is you're going to have to be super efficient with your pass game. You're going to have to get the ball out on time. You're going to have to play within structure on a consistent basis. Defenses are far too prepared and athletic and smart now. And so I think it's flipped a little bit. You know, I think the more examples you have of guys, and you just have more, I have seen more examples of this from Jaden that are, I could take that. Yep. It's going to happen on Sundays. Yep. It's going to happen on Sundays. Than I can from Caleb. And I caveat that with, I was surprised with how poor USC was on the outside this year. And so I don't know if he had a ton of examples or opportunities to do that.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Then what would you counsel New England to do at 3 if Drake May's sitting there? And again, I know that there's puzzle pieces that might land in free agency, but yep. I just don't know if they'd be the ones to go flip draft capital, which they have no really business doing these days. They got to use it for their own engine for Justin Fields. I'm assuming they're just not going to hit the quarterback in the free agent market and will enter the first Thursday in Detroit potentially needing to draft one. What would you do?
If New England wants to take Drake May at 3, they better have a free agent already signed. Drake May has to be on the Jordan Love type of timeline. Drake May has to sit, you know, and I'll give you the one reason why, Rich. His feet are too sloppy and too all over the place. And I know this, again, kind of the conversation I just had about cyclical in nature and style of play. And I've learned this. I've adjusted the way I look at it from Sam Darnold to Mitchell Trubisky. I've watched all these high-end quarterbacks in the NFL refine and work on. If you go into the NFL and mechanically your feet are sloppy and you don't fix it, you're going to struggle. You might get away with it here and there. You're going to struggle. I've watched Josh Allen fixes or refine. I've watched Patrick Mahomes do it. I've watched Lamar Jackson do it. They all have to. And Drake May is an amazing talent. You know, I love his Pittsburgh game. You know, he's the difference in the game. He makes some big time plays down the field. He controls the line of scrimmage with protection. Ball comes out on time, drops that back leg and rips it. And then I see some plays like, hey, man, you can get away with that against Pitt on that deep crosser and versus man coverage. But that you're not going to survive a long time in the NFL like that. And I just think so often we take these young players, and I say this all the time, Rich, these guys are getting drafted early because they're talented. I don't necessarily have to tell people about the talent. Part of my job is I got to find the flaw, find the weakness, find the bad, what needs to get fixed so the talent constantly is at the top. And, you know, if New England takes him and expects him to play right away, that gives me agita thinking about it, because I want that young man to sit for a year or two, refine that lower half, and then unleash like Green Bay did.
All right. So in the time I have left with you, let me just ask you then, do you put McCarthy or Penix over May in that regard?
No. Okay. The one that I would put sniffing Drake would be JJ. I think JJ McCarthy, and this is, I haven't watched every single snap of his so far. I'm about 40-50% done through it. I called his first college game ever. So I'm a massive fan of JJ's.
Well, and you could skip the second half of the Penn State game too. So you could move it along, because he didn't, you know.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Can I touch on that real quick?
Sure.
Can I touch on that real quick?
Sure.
You know, I get frustrated when I'm like, when I hear people say, well, if he's that good, why didn't they throw it more?
Oh, please. Yeah, I know, right.
Guys, they went 15-0.
That's right.
If they needed to throw it more, they would have, you know? And so, and it's just the style of play that Jim, you know, Harbaugh wanted to play. I think two things that I love about JJ that have stood out on tape is, I think he makes very difficult things look easy, very difficult things look easy. And that's a trait that is unique in the NFL. And then, you know, I always say, Rich, like, you got to walk the fine line between reckless and aggressive. I don't know if there's a guy in this draft more confident in what his eyes tell him to do with the football than JJ. And again, I love that trait in quarterbacks.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, before I send you off onto your good day on Monday, two things I want to hit you on. Jason Kelce is retiring, as you and I are talking right now. He's announced his retirement. You think of what when you think of Jason Kelce, Dan?
All-time Philadelphia sport athlete. You know, all-timer. You know, my wife called me like 20, 25 minutes ago. She texted me and she said, my wife's from Philadelphia, diehard Eagles fan. She said, hey, I'm calling you. I need to talk to you. Panic sets in. What's up? And she goes, is Kelce retiring? And I'm like, Rich, you know my wife. You briefly spent time with her. And I'm like, what, babe? Yeah. I thought something was wrong with you. So all-time Philadelphia sports athlete. You know, I think he's one of the greatest centers of all time. I think the athleticism stood out. Cog for one of the best offensive lines in the NFL over the last, you know, decade or so, that one in Philadelphia. So all-timer. And the great thing for us, the lucky thing for us, is we are not done seeing him. He will be a star in TV if he wants to be.
I agree. No doubt about it. And I mean, honestly, a huge void. I mean, 13 seasons being an all-time first ballot Hall of Famer too. Right, Dan? Like, that's not even a question. Right?
Lock. Yep.
Lock.
Absolutely.
All right. So then before I let you go, what's your favorite Chris Mortensen story, Dan?
Man, Rich. I think my favorite Chris Mortensen story is we both work in a world that is about us, and he never made it about him. And I think that is, you know, the cliche is live a life that impacts people, that makes them want to emulate it. And we throw that around too much. His life is one that I certainly want to try and emulate. And that's a kind of encapsulating, but I will never forget the multiple times that I had gone on when I was early in this career and said something on TV. And that was probably a little loose in regards to some stuff. And he would just go out of his way to give me like the arm grab and pull me to the side and just give me like a, hey, you know, just be smart, be careful, think about it in this way or this regard, and profound impact.
So just to have a filter or think before you, you know?
Yeah, I think it was in totality thing, you know, hey, just so you know, or yeah, I think it's a little bit of filter, a vantage point of how it's going to be received, the lens for everybody. And then also, you know, just trying to give me tidbits of how I could stand out a little bit more, how I could rephrase a little bit differently. And totally unnecessary, but he did it anyway.
He's one of my favorites. One of my favorites, man. And please send my regards and condolences to everybody in the building. I'm assuming that's where you are right now.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure on NFL Live it'll be quite a moment. So I'll be thinking of you and everybody else there. Pass along all my condolences. Literally, I know half that building. So please do so.
You're a good man, brother.
Right back at you. Thanks for the time, Dan. You're the best.
We'll chat soon.
You got it. And send my best to the missus. I mean, my goodness. That's so funny.
A tough afternoon.
I know. Yeah. Send my best. That's Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I'm looking up right now. Seems like Kelsey might be holding back some tears.
Oh, he sat down and immediately started crying.
Ah, I love this guy, man.
He's also not wearing sleeves.
I'm seeing it.
It's very on brand.
I'm seeing it. Love him.
Absolute man's man.
All right. Lots to unpack there. Let's talk about the quarterback market, man.
Let's do it.
And what the Bears' decision, it all starts with them and what the quarterback market's going to look like. And the new league year's next week. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As soon as we get a soundbite from Jason Kelsey's press conference, we'll turn it around, as they say. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk game time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, E-I-S-E-N, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it true your dad's a Jet fan?
Yes. I mean, such a Jets fan that he has a Jets tattoo right here.
Oh, my gosh. When did he get that ink? Was he inspired by Richard Todd's play in the 70s? Or was it Ray Lucas in the 90s that caused your dad to get that ink? What was it? Do you know the story?
The big
here?
Thing about my dad and being a Jets fan, and I was once a Jets fan, now definitely a Giants fan. 1969.
I grew up a Jets fan. And go on.
Yeah, just 1969, the first AFC team won the Super Bowl, the year my dad was born. Born in New York. Growing up, everyone loved the Giants probably a little bit more. So he kind of just went the other way, being a Giants fan. He kind of passed it on to me. So I grew up being a fan of Curtis Martin, Thomas Jones, Chad Pennington, the Mark Sanchez era with Rex Ryan and those guys. So I think he kind of got it probably maybe like when the Mark Sanchez era was going. I don't think he did it because of that.
Sure.
He always had a passion. He always wanted to do it. And one day he just made up his mind. He said he's going to put a Jets tattoo right here.
I don't know what I'm freaking out about more. The fact that you could be a Jet, you were living and dying with the Jets while I was living and dying with the Jets, or that your dad and I were born in the same year and you could be my son. And I've got a 10, almost 8, and a 5 at home. And this is not about me. It's about you, Saquon. But so was your dad disappointed that the Jets didn't take you?
No. My dad was happy that, you know, he seen his son living in
Or didn't get a chance to take you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was happy, just like I was saying, his son, him and my mother, very fortunate to have both parents in my life. You know, I've always went to them and told them what I want to do and what I'm passionate about. And they always give me great advice and try to show me the way what I got to do to get to my dream and live out my dream.
Yes, indeed. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Derek in Missouri has been hanging on for a while. Let's take his phone call. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. So before I get to my discussion with you, while you were in Indy, do you happen to stop at St. Elmo's when you were there?
No, I did not, sir. I did not make it over there. I'm not really a shrimp cocktail guy, believe it or not. I know that surprises people. So many people love it.
I am myself, and St. Elmo's is my go-to every time I go to Indy for the 500 cool. every year. So it's a
no, they're great people there. I just wasn't able to make it over there this time. What's on your mind?
Sure. So, Rich, this is between you and me, sir. I got to ask, you're my bird's eye view and my source down here in Indy for the combine. Just from your perspective, what did you see from J.J. McCarthy? Just because I've seen him on a few walk drafts here and there, and he's showing that Denver's on next to his name.
Well, I mean, I think Denver would be lucky to get him. Thanks for the call, Derek. I think
they're going to have to move up.
I think Denver would be very lucky to get J.J. McCarthy 12th overall. I don't know if he's going to be there. However, you know, there were a ton of talented tackles and a ton of talented wide receivers. If you need a left tackle and, you know, few teams don't, because even the Chargers, if they stick at 5, if they don't trade out, because I don't know if they if there's anybody that leaps off the page at them at 5. But they might want to trade down a little bit if a quarterback's out there and somebody wants to go get. Like, I think they'd be open for business, the Chargers. If Drake May falls or if somebody wants to really go get J.J. McCarthy and utilize that spot, they'd be in. But if they get Joe Alt, he'd be a right tackle because Rashawn Slater's a left. He's the all-pro. So you keep on looking at how many quarterbacks, let's just say 4 go in the top 10, 3 tackles go in the top 10, and 3 receivers go in the top 10. That's entirely possible. Let's just take that fourth quarterback out. Let's just say somebody wants Dallas Turner. So a defender goes in the top 10 and pushes the quarterback down. Then the Broncos might be in business. But you also have the Vikings sitting right there. They better leapfrog the Vikings if Kirk Cousins doesn't re-sign. Because this is the conversation coming out of the combine. And by the way, just to answer Derek's question, I mean, J.J. looked the part. 219 pounds. Everybody thought he was lanky. Well, not everybody. One unnamed executive told that to Albert Breer. And he looked the part. And apparently blew away the meeting rooms, which shouldn't surprise you. And wants to get better at everything. He's also 21. He just turned 21, too. So he's a kid, and you want to he can hit his second contract by the age of 25, 26. I mean, look,
good that's spot to be.
Part of the reason why he wants to leave when he did. So it all starts with the Bears, and you just heard Dan Orlovsky say if he was the Bears, if he was Ryan Poles, if he were Kevin Warren and the McCaskey family, he would take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. Man, you imagine if that happens draft night.
I can't imagine. I mean, Washington is just...
They're doing cartwheels. Yeah. Doing cartwheels. That they would get a kid from the Mid-Atlantic area to be the Washington Commanders' face of the franchise. And that's the whole part of it, too, is they better grind that tape. And, you know, because you'd take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams, you would be turning down the chance to take who everybody thinks is surefire in the media. Clearly, Dan Orlovsky would be like, I kind of know how to break down this stuff, and I kind of think that Jaden Daniels is better because he just had a better year. And he thinks he's maybe more pro-ready. But the Bears are the team that once upon a time famously left Mahomes on the draft board. And Caleb Williams is the one that looks the most like him with off-platform throws and the stuff that he does. Just does look like Mahomes. Really does.
But to quote Chris Brockman here, something he loves to say, I think we're playing the result there because there was not this level of hype on Mahomes. Like, we're looking back and going, yeah, but
well, Mahomes didn't win a Heisman.
Yeah,
and,
but the level of hype with Caleb is just infinitely higher than what it is.
Mahomes didn't play games that were seen nationally, like USC's. Mm-hmm. Right?
No, definitely not.
Right. And Mahomes' coach didn't famously leave one place to go to another place and take him with him.
Yeah, right.
So the spotlight has been on Caleb Williams so much more. And it was amazing that Spencer Rattler was on the same field as Caleb on Saturday for the same combine, since that's the guy who lost his gig to Caleb. And there he is up on the screen. He's available in the draft as well. He did.
DJ said he was a guy who everyone loved as a third, fourth round.
And it is the one that Chris Mortensen, before his passing, texted Daniel the night before his passing about. He was curious about Spencer Rattler.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Bears have to act first by trading Justin Fields by, I would say, this point next week. Because if Justin Fields' trade market is not as robust as they want it to be right now, guess what? It'll be a hell of a lot less robust if you let other teams fill up their spots. And I imagine you've got to, you gotta, when everybody's in the quarterback carousel spinning for the free agency, you gotta trade Justin Fields now. I guess they could hold on to him.
Rich, do you think there's a possibility, Chris, that they hold on to this pick, even maybe when the draft starts, and just seeing who's going to get shook enough to maybe offer them way too much for Fields because the guys they wanted have been taken?
No, I think you've got to, when you look at the market right now, right? New England is a Fields landing spot. I don't think the Giants are. Atlanta clearly is, right?
Yep.
Denver might be, right?
Raiders.
Vegas might be.
Yep.
Another potential landing spot for Justin Fields, Pittsburgh. I doubt that will happen, as you know.
I saw a really interesting
Tampa
one.
Tampa could, if Baker Mayfield suddenly decides to go up and go to New England, does Tampa go and get Justin Fields? Maybe. I mean, that's a question mark one.
I saw an interesting one. What about Cleveland?
Cleveland, come on.
Man, they got too much
scratch.
And what do you, Deshaun Watson, it's every dollar guarantee. We can just cut him. That one makes no sense to me.
Everybody wants him.
I mean, that makes no sense to me. So those are the ones I've checkmarked: the Patriots, Falcons, Broncos, Raiders, Steelers, and got a question mark on Tampa. Let's just say you let Tampa re-sign Baker, they're off the board. You go and see Cousins is going to have to sign somewhere. Let's just say the Broncos love him or the Raiders love him. They're off the board. Or the Vikings re-sign him. They're off the board. You can't let these pieces land if you're Chicago. Then suddenly you're offering Justin Fields up for a song because you do have to offload him. He's not going to back up your first overall drafted kid. Just not happening. So you got to offload him, I would think, now. And then you can figure out, is it Jaden Daniels or is it Caleb Williams? Then you could take your time. You don't have to tip your hand. Certainly if Caleb Williams is telling the Bears, I'm not coming this week, I'm coming after my pro day, which is the 20th of March. And you also, I'm imagining, haven't put your hands on him with a doctor yet, which is the most crucial part, to find out how medically ready he is to play the NFL. I mean, they found on which kid? Was it Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? They found something called a Jones fracture in his foot.
Whoa.
Is that who it was? Somebody.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Was that who it was going to be?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, they basically say, you know, your foot's broken. Like, okay.
By the way, whoever did
I don't know if that was
comp,
it. You want to look that up? Make sure I'm not saying the wrong thing.
Jones fracture.
Whoever did that comp with Kool-Aid and the Kool-Aid man, I don't know if you saw that. It was amazing. They just had side by side of Kool-Aid McKinstry and the Kool-Aid man. And
that's good. the point is you got to test guys medically. You got to get it done. And so, but based from that decision goes everything else. Cousins has got to land somewhere. Russell Wilson is going to be out there, because I didn't leave Denver hearing a single soul saying that whatever, although it's silence, and silence sometimes means things are getting done behind the scenes. I don't know how he's a Denver Broncos starting quarterback next year. You know, although we just did hear Dan Orlovsky say, if you draft Drake May, you need to sit him. And then he said the only guy that's sniffing Drake May in terms of overtaking him for the third quarterback available in this year's draft is McCarthy. So I imagine you have to sit him too, would be Dan's counseling, if you're sitting May.
Right.
Although, you know how I think about how he would handle his business, J.J. McCarthy. But then again, one never knows. Those are the questions. Where do those pieces land in the next 10 days? Although Russell's date where he pops free is the 17th of March, which is after the new league year begins. Nuts. So that's your quarterback market as it stands. If Baker stays put, and let's just say Cousins stays put. Oof,
two big dominoes.
Right. Then does Atlanta go and get Justin Fields now, or sit there and assume J.J. McCarthy and Penix will be there at the 8th overall pick? And that's the way they fill their quarterback spot.
And you're rolling with the rookie.
Then you roll with a rookie.
Yep.
Which, if I'm Raheem Morris, I do. You know? Well, unless, what? Is that the landing spot for Cousins? Like, what would you rather do? Start the clock from the very beginning with a 21-year-old quarterback or a 24-year-old quarterback, McCarthy or Penix, or a guy who's in his 30s coming off of an Achilles injury?
Give $40 million to a 35-year-old?
Right, or you start the clock again. I would start the clock. And you're a new head coach. That means you get some time. Although the previous guy got a couple of years.
Whose downfall was he picking the wrong quarterback.
And then there's the Steelers. I don't think they're in the quarterback market at all. I would remove. Do you see them trading draft capital for Justin Fields and then having to pick up a fifth year option on him when you've
reports.
Got Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, that's,
you know, like, you got Kenny Pickett in the middle of his rookie contract to see if the kid from Pitt has what he's showed you he had, which is kind of like the Kenny Pickett time sort of fourth quarter magic, is what he had at the end of his rookie season and didn't show it in year two. I don't think so. That doesn't strike me as that. I think they re-sign Mason Rudolph and go to work.
Just doesn't it feel
and let Arthur Smith be the difference maker?
Eerily similar to what New England just went through with Mac Jones, what Pittsburgh's doing with Kenny Pickett.
Except
great rookie season,
right?
Terrible second year,
right?
And then we saw what it got New England this year.
And then give him a real coordinator in Bill O'Brien. They're giving Pickett, you know,
the real one with Arthur
Smith.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thinks that Arthur Smith is
a downgrade.
Well. It's
didn't go
clear.
Well, for what the Pats did.
That's where you got to wonder, where does Justin Fields land? And I don't know. You just saw these teams had all of these kids in their meeting room and saw them spin it sitting there at 11, 12, and 13. Interesting times for the Chicago Bears. But that's your quarterback market as things stand coming out of the combine. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ian Rappaport will give us his two cents on everything, including the rumor I heard at the combine and said in hour number one that Jerry's concept of going all in is letting Dak play for his next contract.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Certainly when letting him do that is a $60 million price tag to let him play just this year alone. And I imagine that would be the floor for a new contract next year. Jeez. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about milestones in basketball when we come back.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Seeing some of these sound bites from the Kelce press conference that's still going on, 45 minutes and counting.
He thanked his band teacher at one point.
I love this guy, man. Jason Kelce on Nick Foles. He won't forget, quote, the biggest D on the team going up to Doug Peterson and asking for the Philly special and Doug having the biggest balls, end quote. God, I love this guy.
Kevin Clark threw this out there. Do you think he's the most beloved Philly athlete ever?
No.
By the fans?
I mean, he's in the conversation, right? Don't you think?
Feels like it.
Definitely, I mean, in the combo.
Well, who else from the
Eagles? Right,
who else from the Eagles would be?
Of all time?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm not from the city, so it'd be very difficult
Brian
for me.
Brian Dawkins?
Brian Dawkins, but he didn't win a championship there.
Right.
But they do love Dawkins.
They do love Brian Dawkins.
Westbrook, too, right?
Brian Westbrook, yep.
Westbrook.
Who else? But from old school, like Jaws, Philly, Jaws.
I'm talking like Mike Schmidt.
Harold Carmichael. Like, Iverson, you have to include that.
You know?
Schmidt. Dr. J.
Hello.
Yeah, but he didn't play his whole career there. Neither did Allen.
He played the majority of his. He also played for New Jersey, so he probably stayed in the same
Barkley,
house.
Right? You just keep throwing out there.
Barkley didn't play for Philly very long.
How about Philly Flyers?
Bobby Clark.
Yep.
But Kelce's in the conversation.
Oh yeah,
there's no question. His career. When the press conference is over, we'll play a soundbite. I'll give him his flowers and due, which he deserves. But that's. Maybe in hour three.
Still going.
I know. He's still going. I love him. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Get the app. Put it on your phone. Start buying tickets. Susie's taking Coop to a Hoops game tonight using the promo code. Buying the tickets on Game Time because we're a Game Time family. And it is so great. Like, she was actually texting me during the combine views from the seat. What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Right.
And then I would hit it and I'd see the all-in prices. I'd be like, yeah, not that. Maybe this one.
Why don't you go a few rows up?
But honestly, she's able to let, like, this is where, you know, how does this look compared to that look? It's awesome. It takes the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. And she was even considering, you know, like, let's wait to last minute deals. Mm-hmm. You could even, well, this one wasn't an option. An hour after the event starts, that's Game Time even has that for you if you want to show up late. Take the guesswork straight out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. One of the things Susie was making sure before getting the tickets to take Coop tonight is to make sure LeBron's playing. Because we thought, okay, he got his 40,000th point. Now maybe we manage it a little bit. But they need to win basketball games, man.
They need to win games.
You know?
Yes. I would also like LeBron to play tonight.
I know that because he's
selfishly.
Because he's in your fantasy league.
Yeah.
Right? He's on your fantasy team?
Yep.
And so LeBron with 40,000 points. He just keeps on raising the bar, man.
Seems like a lot of points.
Raising the bar and raising the bar and raising the bar. And we're just assuming he's going to play. I mean, how much longer is he going to play? 2, 3, 4? Like, if I told you he could play till he's 45, wouldn't you believe it right now? Wouldn't you believe it?
Yeah.
Right now, the way he's playing?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because he's just being dominant. I know last week while I'm at the combine, didn't he outscore his, who did he play
the
last
Clippers
week?
Clippers. Right, yeah, in the fourth Clippers. Quarter.
Yeah, 19-16, right? Yeah. Listen, I know the conversation is always him versus Jordan and whatever, but for my kids, you know, I'll show them videos of Jordan. They'll see Dad and like Mike. You know, I might, you know, might buy him an ice cream based on my residuals from that film. But this is the guy. I mean, for generations to come, greatest ever. 40,000 points. What is he going to get? 42, 43 by the time it's all over? What do you think? 42?
Well, if he goes to 44,
if he plays
45,
like four more years, that's, you know, that's 1,200 points a year probably. He might get 45,000.
You know?
45, 46?
Maybe, yeah.
Just unbelievable. And I love the fact that the two names right now in basketball, two biggest names, this guy on the screen and Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Could you imagine, if I told you that Pistol Pete Maravich's Division I points record for a career would get broken, you'd say it wouldn't happen because in this day and age, you know what, guys who can do it
don't
tap out.
Yeah.
Right? They're in the NBA. They go to the G League. They're whatever.
They're there for a good time, not a long time.
And what if I told you it would be an Iowa Hawkeye? You'd be like, really? Okay. And he's, what, a fifth-year player? No. It's Caitlin Clark. It's a dominant female basketball player. And did you guys read the letter her dad wrote her and got published? Mm-mm. I'm telling you, as a girl dad, I had to stop reading it midway through. It is just awesome watching what she is doing and what she represents. My daughter cannot get enough. And Susie and I can't get enough of showing her Caitlin Clark. Especially since I don't think, who shoots like her? Who shoots
in
like her?
Basketball?
Right, Steph, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm just talking,
Sabrina Ionescu.
That's what we're talking about.
Dame.
That's what we're talking about. And you know who was really fired up? This was a conversation I heard at the Combine. People in Indianapolis.
Indiana, she's going number one.
The Indiana Fever had the first overall pick in the WNBA draft. She's coming there.
Yeah.
So when she announced last week, I'm leaving to go to the WNBA, folks in Indianapolis were fired up. Like, move over, Tyrese. I'm serious. That was a conversation in Indianapolis.
We know they like to wear jerseys in,
dude,
in Indianapolis.
She is going to dominate that city. Dominate. And I imagine, if I'm not mistaken, the Big Ten tournament's coming there shortly, so they'll get a nice another look-see at her. And she'll last longer than my Michigan Wolverines will when they show up. I don't know what the hell's happening with my men's basketball program. But anyway, Caitlin Clark, congratulations to her. And what she's doing is thoroughly dominant and awesome to see. Let's go to Rich in Pensacola, Florida. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Rich?
Hey, I'd like to ask a question about Dak Prescott.
Sure.
I'd like to know why everybody thinks he's such a great quarterback when he was only mediocre in college and he's only mediocre in the pros.
Well, I mean, he almost was the MVP.
The receivers that he has.
Rich, he was almost MVP this year.
And who thinks he's such a great quarterback? All I hear is Dak slander week after week, day after day.
What don't you like about him,
year.
Rich?
No one's putting him up on a plateau like that.
What do you think?
I don't think he would even be in an MVP category if he didn't have the receivers that he has.
Well, you could say that.
Great, but he's mediocre. Could you imagine him with a good quarterback? What the Cowboys would be like?
Man, I gotta. So, which is your team, Rich? Just so I know.
I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I could hear it in your voice, actually. You wouldn't take. Hold on a second, Rich.
Yeah,
hold on a second. Hold on a second. You wouldn't take Dak.
You wouldn't be the answer there either.
You wouldn't take Dak right now on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No.
Oh boy.
I don't think he would do any better than Pickett's doing right now.
Oh,
and I'm not
Rich.
A Pickett fan.
Rich, I don't know where you're driving right now, but I'd pull you over and make you breathe into a tube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Well,
That's the way I feel.
I'm sorry. Haven't been drinking.
Okay, thank goodness.
I just don't believe that.
I hear you.
That Dak Prescott's as good as everybody thinks he is.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate you calling in. Keep listening to us. I obviously disagree. I know you disagree too. I know you disagree too. I think the Steelers would take Dak Prescott in a heartbeat.
And I stand by what I said. But most people don't view Dak as an elite quarterback.
Listen,
for whatever reason,
Dak was second in MVP votes this year.
Part and parcel of not winning enough playoff games. End of story. That's it.
I also feel
getting
like
blown out in San Francisco in the playoffs last year and regular season this year, and getting just absolutely blown out against the Green Bay Packers. And again, the Dallas defense did no favors.
This isn't a Dak
it's a team
Prince.
Game.
It's 27 dot at one point. You know what I mean? Like he's not trying to arm tackle Aaron Jones. He's not giving Jordan Love all day to throw to Rich. The receivers were wide. Guys we've never heard of. Wide open.
I'm with you, which is why I would absolutely extend him and make sure that not only are you not completely cap hamstrung in the future, but you're not this year, and you go get more weapons for this guy. And go. That's the way you go all in with him, not by just saying play out your contract because you didn't perform well enough again this year to our liking. And I don't think you don't deserve to be around here if in a walk year I don't pay you. I put that pressure on you on the griddle, and I'm going to just sit up there in the owner's suite and watch this whole thing play out where the coach is on the griddle and the quarterback's on the griddle and everybody needs to prove it in order to stick around here.
That seems a little weird.
It sounds really weird. But like I said, this is the thought process that's pervasive right now in Dallas, according to a lot of people I spoke to in Indianapolis. That can change over the next 8-9 days before the new league year hits, and they've got to figure this thing out in terms of who you pay and how, and the free agents are hitting, how much you have to go get for free agents. But I'd sign him and extend him and get some cap relief for this year and use it on stars to win with him right now. That's the all-in I would do if I were Dallas. And Ian Rappaport's about to talk about it. Because to me, that's the way to do it. And I understand, you know, there just needs to be that next step up from Dak. Like, I understand why Jerry's just like, where is that moment where the defense isn't doing all that well and the run game's not all performing, but let's get the cape on. Let's run around for 9 seconds and flip it out to my tight end. And quiet the crowd and have another 15-play drive to go up by 2 scores in someone else's building. Where the hell is that? Like we saw it at Mahomes. You could say, well, there's only one Mahomes.
That's going to be my next one.
But where's the Josh Allen type performances? Even in a loss. And you sit there and go, am I going to really pay this guy another $40-50 million? And the answer is, well, who else is there? And this year, if you liked the roster last year and you're wondering what the hell happened, then tinker with it a little bit. With
you see where you need
Derek
to rebuild.
Derrick friggin' Henry, man. Go get him. I know it sounds like fantasy football, but to me, how is he not the answer? Get him. Get people excited. Sell his jersey. Print playoff tickets. Plural, I imagine. Draft wisely. Ian Rappaport coming up next.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day. Plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.